Now you will be listening to a program about a specific illness. And this is because you are starting your journey with this condition together with your parents or guardians. If that's not the case, then you're just interested in this and want to know more about it. In this program, you will be listening to a child or a young person telling us about their specific illness, talking about everything they went through since the first day they were diagnosed up until where they are now. You will also listen to the caregiver talking about the experience and the doctor that was treating the child. So sit back, relax and listen to what they have to tell us.
Hello everyone, my name is Adoansar Abrams. I am 12 years old. I'm in grade 7 and I will be talking about my journey with chronic asthma and bronchiolitis obliterans. I'm at RX Radio and you might hear some noise in the background because they're busy with maintenance.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Inshaf Abrams. I'm the mother of Abdul Ansar and I will be assisting him regarding his journey through chronic asthma and bronchiolitis obliterans.
What I know about asthma is an allergy that makes your chest tight. Like for some people, if you start running, you will get tired quickly and you can't do it too much or else you'll either get a tight chest or you'll get an asthma attack. When your chest gets tight, you start feeling like it's itchy inside and you start coughing a lot.
And your difficulty of breathing?
You get heavy breathing, then you feel like you can't breathe that well. I feel like I need to take as many puffs of the pump as I can, because then otherwise I'll be sitting with the tight chest throughout the whole day and then I can't go outside and play sports and stuff like that.
Whatever he's allergic to and he maybe becomes exposed, so then that could also trigger an asthma attack, whether it is from environmental allergies to food allergies or eczema, any of those.
Hi, my name is Mike Levine. I'm the head of the allergy clinic at Red Cross Hospital, and I'll be telling you about what happens with asthma and to a patient in the hospital. Asthma is a condition where usually children get episodes of tight chest and difficulty breathing. The important thing is that that's called an asthma attack, but asthma isn't just asthma attacks. Somebody with asthma always has swelling and inflammation in their airways, and that's why we recommend that people don't just treat asthma attacks. They are on chronic long-term treatment to stop that inflammation in order to have them less of those episodes in the first place. Attacks can be triggered by lots of different things. Some people have problems with just exercise or cold air. Other people have problems with specific allergens or irritants that can cause the tight chests. But if you use your medication regularly every single day, whether you're having any symptoms or not, then those attacks get less and less frequent. So even if you are exposed to those potential triggers, nothing will happen. When you get an episode of asthma, an exacerbation or an attack of asthma, you get shortness of breath, feeling that it's difficult to breathe. Some people get very, very tight and then they can hear a whistling sound that comes from the chest that we call a wheeze, and it becomes more and more difficult to breathe until eventually the person can not be able to breathe altogether and have to collapse and get treatment.
I was diagnosed at a very young age. I think it was at 3 months.
No, it started off at 3 months. He used to get tight chest quite often. And then I think it was at the age of about 2 years old when the doctors came to the conclusion of him being a chronic asthmatic.
At first it made me feel like I'm not like other children who can run as much as they want and can be outside when it's like very windy days. But then after a while, I realized that I don't need all of that. If it's like running, then I will not run that fast. I will like walk, but I will walk fast. And if it's a windy day, I'll just wear like a jacket or a jersey.
Honestly, like I said, it's not a death penalty. Him coming from a background of asthma, because I myself am an asthma patient, So I know how to handle it. And, you know, when he gets sick, I exactly know how to handle things. Because if I'm going to panic, I'm going to make him even more worse than what it is. So it all starts basically with me. Because I need to stay focused and I need to stay strong for him in order for him to pull through it.
One of the things about asthma that we often get asked is, am I going to have this problem forever? Is it going to get better? Is it going to get worse? And unfortunately, there is no one-size-fits-all answer for every single patient. There are some patients who, as they get older, their lungs just get bigger. So the fact that there's a little bit of swelling and a little bit of spasm in the airways has less effect on what it is they're actually feeling. So they feel as if they're getting better from their asthma, and in fact, they feel that they've outgrown their asthma. But the truth is that the underlying problem, the actual inflammation, is still there. And often those people, when they get much older, when they hit their 40s, for example, they start having problems with their chests again. Asthma is very rarely completely outgrown, but it can be controlled. And if you use those regular medications as your controllers every single day, there's absolutely no reason why 99.9% of people with asthma can't have a completely normal life, full enjoyment of everything that they do, no limitation on their sports and activities, and not really even having to have reliever medication being given to them all that frequently. The challenge, though, is to just make sure that people understand that you need to treat it preemptively, that they have to take their medications every day and not wait for those asthma attacks to come before bothering to do anything about it.
That's the end of part one of a three-part series. We still have two parts left, so get up, stretch a bit, and go fetch you a cup of warm coffee. And when you're back, you can press play. Welcome back. We will continue with this program. Here is part two.
I take prednisone, azithromycin, ciclicinide, Seroflow, and Ashtavint. If I had to get a tight chest, then the inhaler would help me get a bit of oxygen in my lungs so that I can breathe a little bit.
The Ashtavint is your reliever. And the ciclicinide and the Seroflow, they are your preventer.
Okay.
In the sense of the ciclicinide and the Seroflow should prevent your chest from getting tight. As well as the tablets.
Okay.
And the pumps is taking twice a day. Two puffs twice a day.
When I use my inhaler, first I take a few, I shake it well, not too much though, put it in my mouth, and then I breathe in, breathe out, and then I take a puff, like this.
So normally you would use a spacer with any of his pumps. It's like a tube. One part is for the pump to go in, and then there's like a mouthpiece on the other end for the mouth section. And the reason for the spacer is so that if he should use the pumps, when he presses, whatever comes out of the pump, it will go into the spacer, making it much more easier for him to inhale. Because if you do it directly from the pump to your mouth, then the stuff are basically playing on your tongue and not much is going to your lungs.
If it's treated early, then the asthma attack can be really nipped in the bud just by using what we call a reliever medication. One of those reliever medications is called Astavent, and that's the pump that people get here at Red Cross Hospital, but there are lots of other different reliever medications that you can use if you have a tight chest. They're all given via a pump, which is a little gadget that you hold in your hand and you press it and some spray of the medication comes out. But we also really want that medication to get deep into your chest. And that's why most people who are using asthma pumps also use a spacer, which is a little plastic bottle that goes between the pump and your mouth. And then you breathe the air that is in that spacer into your lungs along with the medication. And that helps it really work much better than if you put that pump in your mouth.
What I do is, if I can't use anything, then I will maybe take a rest for, say, about like 2 to 3 minutes. Or maybe I can like drink some water to refresh myself. If I know the Ashtavint is not working, then I know I have to come to hospital. I would get heavy breathing, like not the kind where you have to sit down for a certain amount of time. Like if you cough, you lose all your breath and you feel like you are choking. And then I would just say, Mommy, I canola, man, I need to go to the hospital, canola.
From there, then, you know, if the aspirin doesn't work, then I need to rush him, because if that's not working, then he needs oxygen. And then from there, he would also get, like, these heavy headaches as well. Because I think it's mainly, you know, the pressure on that his body is carrying of the difficulty breathing and so on. So automatically he gets this the headaches.
If your asthma isn't controlled properly and you get a really bad attack, then sometimes you need to come to hospital to get a nebulizer. And the advantage of a nebulizer is that when the doctor or nurse gives you a nebulizer, you're able to take in two different medicines at the same time through that stuff that they put in the little container that the nebulizer is causing the medicine to come out of. But at the same time, the pipe that's attached to the nebulizer and goes into the wall is giving you oxygen. And it's the oxygen that is the most important thing that is then keeping you alive during that very, very severe exacerbation. A lot of people think that a nebulizer is better than using a pump with a spacer. But in fact, using a pump and a spacer gives you better deposition to your lungs. The only reason we use a nebulizer when you're in hospital is so that we can give the oxygen at the same time and give both of those medications simultaneously. So really what I'm saying is that if you're having a bad asthma attack, instead of just using that Astavan pump one puff or two puffs, you're allowed to actually use that pump up to 6 to 10 times. That's what we call multi-dosing. And it's when you would have got a nebulizer at the hospital, but instead of using the nebulizer, you would use your asthma pump in that way. It's really important that if you are doing multi-dosing, or even if you're giving just more than one puff from a pump into a spacer, is that you always breathe that single pump with that single puff in all, and then you spray a second time, and then you breathe all of that in, and then you do it 3, 4, 5, 6 times as often as you need. You never spray more than one puff into the spacer at the same time. That's one of the mistakes that people make. It's also important to know that if you've used multi-dosing and you feel better, you've had a really, really bad episode, and you still need to come and see a doctor to be checked up on to make sure that that tight chest doesn't get even more out of control. If the nebulizer doesn't work and the tight chest continues to get worse, we sometimes admit people into the hospital. You would then probably get a drip put up, so a little straw gets put into your veins where we can give you medicines. Those medicines are also to help the chest, but they're kind of a last resort because they're not going directly to the lungs. They still have to go all the way through the body to have their action. So that's why it's really important to have your regular controller therapy every day so you don't even get tight in the first place. And then if you do have a tight chest, to treat it nice and quickly with your asthma pump, with your spacer, using the multi-dosing so that you can head it off before it gets any worse.
What I think about taking the medication is not great because the prednisone is bitter, and if you leave it on your tongue for longer than, I think, 3 seconds, then the taste will still be on your tongue. And the azithromycin, it's quite a big tablet. When I take it, then it feels like I am choking on something.
Some people who've got asthma who are taking their regular controller medication are taking either one type of pump or two types of pumps as their everyday treatment. There are very, very few patients who need anything more than that, and they would usually be seen in a fancy clinic. They would be getting additional pills, and it's not something that is going to be experienced by most people with asthma. The one pill that people with asthma will come across a lot is prednisone. Prednisone is a tablet that is taken. It's a very small pill. It tastes quite bitter, and it works as a emergency treatment, like a crash course, if somebody has had a bad asthma exacerbation, to try and get that inflammation under control much more quickly. It doesn't open up the airways very quickly like Astavent does, but what it does is it pushes down that underlying inflammation that is causing the problem, so it helps you get over that attack much more quickly. Some of our patients have little capsules or tablets of prednisone that they take home with them so that if they're having a severe episode, they can take them quickly, even before they come into hospital, because the sooner they're taken during an acute attack, the better it'll be. A very, very small number of patients will be on what we call maintenance prednisone, and that means that they're so difficult to control, none of the other medications is even working, so they're taking tiny doses of that prednisone every single day in order to try and prevent them from having asthma attacks. But that's got lots of side effects, and it's something that we really try and avoid unless there's no alternative whatsoever.
You just listened to part two. But there's still one more part to go, so take another break, and when you come back, you can listen to the final part. Welcome back. We will continue with this program. Here is part three.
Patients with asthma should be seen regularly at a clinic in order to check to see what's been happening with them over the last few months. We often ask questions about their asthma control. So we ask, how many symptoms have you had in the last few weeks during the day, during the night, with exercise? Have you had to go in to see a doctor or any other unscheduled visits to healthcare practitioners? And if the answer to any of those questions is yes, it means that your asthma control is not actually good enough. Some people think that because they've got asthma, it means they're going to have symptoms all the time because they're asthmatic. But in fact, if you take your regular controller therapy every single day, you should be able to answer no to those questions, because you will be perfectly controlled, not having any tight chests, not using your reliever medication at all, not having problems with exercise, and not having any difficulty sleeping at night. Now, if there is a problem with your asthma control, meaning that you are having some of those symptoms, then usually the problem is not that there's anything wrong with the treatment that the person is on. Usually the problem is that they're not taking it often enough, because these medications need to be taken every single day, whether you're feeling sick or not. Or the way that the medication is being used is not the best possible way of getting that into the lungs. So that's why whenever you come back to a follow-up visit at the clinic, we always ask you to bring your pumps, your spacer, any medication that you have with you to every single visit, even if those pills or medications are completely finished, because then we can have them in front of you and we can discuss them and we can say, okay, this medicine is supposed to be doing this, it's the controller, it's supposed to be used twice a day every day, this one is the reliever, and then let's check to see exactly how you're using those pumps and then go through the technique with you and train you to make sure that it's able to work as best as possible.
The challenges that I have faced was whenever I had to run to do something, then I would have always gotten a tight chest, but then at the end I would have felt like, no, this is nothing, I can't do it, I'm going ahead. I feel like I can't do many things, but when I put my mind to it, then I can do it. Like, if I can't play, like, soccer, then I won't play it. Then I'll just play another sport that doesn't include running.
So the biggest challenge that children have with asthma is just remembering to take their medications every day. So some of the things that we sometimes do is we say, put your asthma pump next to your toothbrush so that every time you brush your teeth in the morning or in the night, you're reminded that you're also supposed to be doing something regularly so you don't have to feel bad before you do anything about it. For other people who might be traveling in a car on the way to school or their parents who drop them off, for example, then having their controller pump in the car is a time when they might be more likely to remember that they have to use it. The reliever pump, on the other hand, that pump goes with you wherever you go, so that in case you do have a tight chest, you can use that. But the controller pump, that's the one that you need to kind of label specially and have a specific time of the day and night that you remember to take it properly. Some people do have problems with exercise. They have problems if they're allergic to, for example, dogs or cats going to people's houses that might have those pets. But again, all of those things we really try and focus on rather preventing the exacerbation from happening than even avoiding those triggers. Because if you have got your asthma perfectly under control, then even if you are exposed to something that's going to make a little bit of a tight chest, because your chest is being treated properly, it's not going to knock you down as badly as if you're not using your medication all the time. So I think the one big piece of advice for patients and their parents is to work out who's actually responsible for their child's health at that particular time of their life. Some of the kids are quite young. Their parents are very good at giving them their medication every single day. The kids just accept that because they're young and they're told to do it. But then usually by the time they hit, I don't know, 7, 8, and even worse, by the time they're teenagers, firstly, they want to have a little bit more control over the medication themselves, but often they don't understand the importance of using it in the way that I've been explaining to you. And the parents sometimes get a little bit irritated with their kids and say, well, now it's your problem. You have to take care of your chest properly yourself. So I'm washing my hands of that responsibility. So I think knowing who is actually in control and making sure that they're doing that to the best of their abilities is an important discussion to have with the parents and the kids so that you don't land up in a conflict situation where everybody's fighting, blaming each other, and then nobody's getting any medication at all.
The people who supported me are my parents, my grandparents, my siblings, and my friends. The way they supported me was my family would come visit me and my friends would pray that I would get better.
My family, they are the biggest support. If I'm unable to stay with him in hospital, then my mom is here. But otherwise, I will be in hospital and my husband, my in-laws, my parents, my brothers, their children, they would always come and visit, you know, and they would also try to bring his friends, even his teachers. The school is already aware of him and his condition. So they would also, if he's in hospital, then they would also send the records and hope for the best for him and so forth.
The advice that I would give is, it will be okay. Remember, whatever you do, put your mind through it and you will accomplish it.
And take your medication.
Yes, that's a very important lesson.
Take your medication. To the parents, I would say, don't panic, because your child needs to see you strong. Because if you are strong, then they know that everything is going to be okay.
The other thing about asthma is that there's a lot of misinformation out there. If you go onto the internet, you'll find a whole bunch of people giving you advice, none of it which is really based on any good evidence. So I want to tell you guys about a website of an organization called the Allergy Foundation of South Africa. The website allergyfoundation.co.za has got a whole lot of information, not only about asthma, but about all different types of allergies in simple, easy-to-understand language that will be of huge benefit to yourself, your families, and even the teachers at school who need to help you to take care of this condition.
Thank you for taking your time out to listen to this program. This was put together by RX Radio, a radio station by and for children, situated at the Red Cross War Memorial Children's Hospital. Please visit our website www.rxradio.co.za for more amazing programming. Enjoy the rest of your day.